Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, God bless you. This is Evangelist Amos coming to you live from Manna Teacher Ministry. Thank you for listening in tonight. I just want to say God has been so good to me. We're going to start tonight, amen, teaching on the name of Jesus and why do we pray in the name of Jesus. Amen. And I just wanted to read some of my notes first, but let me say a word of prayer. Father, I thank you for the ability to come before your people tonight and to pray and to speak your word, Father, that you have given me. Father, I want to be obedient to you, and God, I pray that this message is pleasing unto you as I offer it to you as my sacrifice, God, and I sow my gift back to you, and I pray that you will be pleased with this message on tonight. In Jesus' name I pray, and I pray that the Holy Spirit would have full reign and control over every word that comes out of my mouth and out of my spirit, God, that I would yield, that I would open up my ears to hear what thus said the Spirit of the Lord to the church tonight. And Lord, I give you glory and I give you praise for all of these many works that you're doing and many more to come. And we give you praise tonight, God, and we glorify you in the mighty name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. God bless you, saints. I hope tonight at the end of the message, within the next 30 minutes, that you will have learned something more that you did not know about the precious name of Jesus, and that when you pray in the name of Jesus, and I cover this message with the blood of Jesus right now, that the angels of God will go before me, behind me, and all around me to protect this message, because there's something very precious that's going to come out of it tonight. Praise the Lord. And I don't say that to boast about me, but I know this is God, what I have to share tonight. Amen. So the Bible says, God dealt with me today, and it was even confirmed tonight in Bible study at my church. We started talking about the name of Jesus. And God said that a lot of his people think that they use the name of Jesus like, you know, that little that show we used to watch when we were kids, I Dream of Genie, or, you know, Aladdin, you know, where you just rub the bottle and you get a wish. People use the name of Jesus like it's some type of magic or something, you know. And we don't even understand the connection between the power of God and the name of Jesus. And why do we pray in the name of Jesus? Not any magic, amen. It's not a genie. He's not a genie that you can rub. There's no type of magic, amen. All of that is of the world. The Bible says in the book of Genesis, the first time when Jesus was spoken of was in Genesis chapter 3, verse 15, when God said, and we're going to turn over there, in Genesis chapter 3, seed of the woman, amen. And we know that women do not have a seed. So this is the puzzling part, but this is the part I want to talk to. In verse 9, Genesis 3 and 9, the Bible says, the Lord God called unto Adam and said unto him, where art thou? And he said, I heard thy voice in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked and I hid myself. So Adam was afraid. This is right after the sin, before God set down the punishment on mankind. When Adam acknowledged his sin, he said, I was afraid. Amen. And the Bible says in verse 10, he said, I heard thy voice in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked and I hid myself. And he said, who told thee that thou was naked? How hast thou eaten of the tree whereof I commanded thee that thou shouldest not eat? Now, that was the act of rebellion and disobedience. And just to make a long story short, Satan used to be in heaven. His name was Lucifer. He was the son of the morning. He was over a third of the angels. And he was if you study, you'll see he was over the music, because the Bible says in Isaiah 14 all his pipes and instruments was within him. So he was over the music, and there's a lot of music in heaven. Amen. So he was like really up there. He was one of the archangels. That's one of the beginning angels, one of the angels that God created first. And arch means beginning. It's something like the word beginning or the first, one of the first. So he was one of the first creatures that God created, but he was a created being. Jesus Christ was God. He's God. He wasn't created. Amen. He is God, the Son of God. He has been in existence since God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. God is eternal. There is no, he has no beginning and no ending. Jesus said, I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the ending. So there is no beginning and no ending with him. But Satan was created, amen, by God, the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. So, saying all of that to say, Satan used to be in heaven. His name was Lucifer. He was kicked out. Jesus said, I beheld Satan as lightning fall from heaven. And there's a scripture we're going to read later on tonight when the disciples were sent out in twos, or the 70 were sent out in twos. They came back rejoicing, the Bible says, because the demons or the spirits were subject unto them through the name of Jesus. And this is what we're talking about tonight, the name of Jesus. And Jesus, what did he tell them when they came back? He said, don't rejoice. And we talked about this last week. If you didn't hear it, you need to go back 1 week and look at the message from last week. It's Jesus told them, as lightning fall from heaven, he said, I know that the demons are subject unto me, and they are subject unto you, because you are using my name. You are using my authority. You are using my power, the power that God has given unto me. He said, I have given it unto you. So this is why the devil trembles, the Bible says, at the name of Jesus. Amen. Jesus said, the devils believe and tremble. And we're going to talk about a couple of scriptures where the devil was afraid of Jesus. Amen. And this is to let you know, Jesus said, don't rejoice because your names are written in the, rejoice because your names are written in heaven. Don't rejoice because the spirits are subject unto you, but rather rejoice because your names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Amen. So that's what we talked about last week. But here we see, in verse 12, the man said, the woman that thou gavest to me with me, she gave me of the tree, and I did eat. And the Lord God said unto the woman, what is this that thou hast done? And the woman said, the serpent beguiled me, and I did eat. So here we go playing the blame game. Now the man said the woman said the serpent. And then we're going to get in verse 14. And the Lord God said unto the serpent, because thou hast belly shalt thou go, and thus shalt thou eat all the days of thy life. This means that the serpent used to walk upright because he was cursed to eat thus and to go on his belly. So evidently there was a change that took place in his stature at that time because he was allowed himself to be used by the devil. Now look at verse 15. God said, I will put enmity between thee and the woman. That's why most people in their right mind are afraid of snakes, especially women. He said, I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed. Now, the woman does not have a seed, but this was God prophesying that Mary, there was going to be a woman that was going to have a seed of God in her. And that is over in the New Testament when the angel told Mary that she was chosen and that the Holy Spirit was going to come upon her and that the holy thing that was going to be born of her was going to be called the Son of God. So Jesus Christ was not born through, he did not have a natural, Mary did not have intercourse with Joseph. He did not have a natural father. His father is God. His father in the natural is God because his blood had to be pure enough to be untainted from sin. So God didn't want to take any chances. There was no way that man's blood was going to be pure enough to save man from sin. That is why the virgin had to be, the Holy Spirit came upon her, the Bible says, and he overcame her, and he planted Jesus in her womb. The seed was planted in the woman of God. So Jesus Christ was and is God. Mary was just the vessel that God chose to birth him into the earth realm, to give him a natural body, because he had to die. He had to die. The Bible says he had to be subject to the same things that we were subject to in order to die for our sins. He was in all points tempted, the Bible says, like as we are, but yet without sin. So Jesus Christ showed us that it is possible with, and one of those things that he did was overcome sin. He never yielded to sin. He told us, don't yield to the flesh. He said, don't walk in the flesh. He gave us many warnings about the flesh. He said, the carnal man is enmity with God. He said, it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can it be subject to the law of God. Carnal mind, enmity with God. The flesh, enmity with God. The flesh is where sin abides. The Bible says the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life. So we know, amen. But look right here in verse 15. He said, I will put enmity between thee and the woman and between thy seed and her seed. It shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. Now here, God is talking about, when he said, it shall bruise thy head, he was talking to the serpent. He said, the seed of the woman is going to bruise your head. He said, and thou shalt bruise his heel. So what he was talking about here, he said he's going to bruise your head, which is a more severe blow than to the heel. The heel, the blow to the heel, was, remember when Jesus was in Matthew chapter 4, when Satan came to Christ and he tempted him with the three temptations. And the last one, he showed him all the kingdoms of the world. I don't have time to go to it, but he showed him all the kingdoms of the world. And he said, all of this was given unto me, and I will give it unto you if you will fall down and worship me. Now, he knew he was talking to God, because he don't never offer all the kingdoms of the world to one person before. He knew he was talking to the Son of God. He offered maybe one kingdom, or, you know, he might offer something to somebody to worship him, but he never offered his entire kingdom to anyone else on earth until he was talking to Christ. That's why I know that Satan knew that he was dealing with Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus Christ, what did he say? He said, it is written. He went back to the word. He gave us an example. Even again in the temptation, he said, it is written, man shall only worship the Lord thy God. And I have to turn to it to get it exactly right. But he said, there's no other gods that we should worship other than God the Father. Amen. So he said, I will be in the woman, and between thy seed and her seed, it shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. Now, when he said, it shall bruise thy head, he was talking about the victory over death that Jesus Christ was going to give to us as his people. We have the victory over death now because Jesus Christ was resurrected. See, I don't like to just keep Jesus on the cross. A lot of people buy those crosses, and they have Jesus on the cross. I don't like to keep Jesus on the cross. If you're going to wear a cross, take Jesus off the cross, because he has the victory over death. That means that he got up out the grave. Jesus Christ, the power of the resurrection, that is what gives us the power to walk as overcomers. God said in the book of Revelation, to him that overcometh will I give to eat from the tree of life. So we have Jesus said, I give you the victory. He said, in the world you shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer, for I have overcome the world. Amen. So, amen. I'm getting a little bit off my subject tonight, but I'm going as the Holy Ghost will lead me to go. But he said, it shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. So he was talking about death there. The death of Jesus Christ is what bruised the heel, but the conquering of death is what bruised the head of Satan. Amen. So now it's through faith, going back to my notes, it's through faith in his name. Why do we pray in the name of Jesus? When we say in the name of Jesus, we have to have in our mind the faith to know what we're believing God, why we are believing God, and what we actually mean when we say in the name of Jesus. All the power in heaven and in earth is behind us when we say in the name of Jesus. That's what we have to realize. It's through faith in his name, the Bible says. In order to have faith, you must understand who Jesus is. And this is what we're going to prove in the Bible study tonight. Why do we pray in his name? We pray in his name because of his position and because of who he is. Another scripture says we are seated in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, far above all principalities and powers, amen, and spiritual wickedness in high places. We are seated in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. In the Spirit of God, when we use the name of God, we are seated in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. So all of heaven and earth is behind us and backing us up when we use the name of Jesus. This is another reason why we pray in the name of Jesus, because of his position and his authority. That word power, he said, I give unto you all power. It means dunamis. It also means dunamis, which means dynamite, and it's another word for power, but it also means authority. Authority is position. It means that you have the authority to do what God, or the ability to do what God has told you to do through his name. That is why he asked the disciples, whom do men say that I am? Now, this is a very important scripture in John chapter 9 that we're going to turn to. I want you to turn me to John chapter 9. I'm going to start in verse 18. And the Bible says in verse 18, it came to pass as he was alone praying that his disciples were with him, and he asked them, saying, whom do the people say that I am? They answered and said, John the Baptist, but some say Elias. They answered, some say John the Baptist, some say Elias. Others say one of the other prophets is risen again. One of the old prophets is risen again. Verse 20, but he said unto them, but whom say you that I am? So he was talking to the believers right there, talking to you and I, just like he was talking to the 12 disciples or whoever was listening. He's just same question he posing to us today. Whom do you say that I am? You cannot be released to go forth and do the works of God until you know who Jesus is, saints. That's why it's important to know on whom we believe, to know the power that's in his name, to know what he has given us. Somebody can give you $1 million, but if you don't go and actually pick it up and start using it, it does you no good. It profits you nothing. It's going to sit there in a box or whatever. And until you die, and you never have taken advantage of it because you didn't actually go and get it and start using it. That's what we have. The name of Jesus is worth more than silver and gold. We have power. We have authority in the spiritual realm, and everything happens in the spiritual realm before it's manifested in the natural. This natural realm is limited by what we believe. Jesus said, if you believe and have grain of mustard seed, you shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed and be thou cast into the sea, and it shall move. It has no choice but to move if you have faith to believe. See, saints, our faith has got to be in the name of Jesus. Our faith has got to be in the Lordship of Jesus Christ, in the power that's in the name of Jesus. It's more than just a name. It's not just a name. It's more than just a name. It's the position and the authority that he's given us over the natural and the earthly realm. So this is what I'm preaching to you tonight. But he said, whom do you say that I am? We're in John chapter 9, and we're in verse 20. He said, whom do you say that I am? Peter answered and said, the Christ of God. Now, the Catholic Church builds a whole doctrine on this, the Christ of God. And he straightly charged them and commanded them to tell no man that thing. Why did he not want them to tell people at that time that he was the Christ? Because he had to go and die on the cross. And he had to accomplish that first before he could say, all power in heaven and earth is given unto me. He didn't have it yet as a man. He had it as God, but he didn't have it as man in the earthly realm. So he said, tell no man that thing, saying the Son of Man must suffer many things and be rejected of the elders and chief priests and scribes. These are things that were prophesied in the Old Testament. Jesus said he didn't come to do away with the law and the prophecies. So that's why he said, tell no man, because he said in the very next verse, the Son of Man must suffer first and be rejected of the elders and chief priests and scribes and be killed, slain, and be raised the third day. All of this in one verse, saints. He told us very plainly, I've got to suffer, I've got to be rejected, because that's what the word says. And we know the word is not going to pass away. All the word has got to be fulfilled. He said, and be killed. I've got to be killed and be raised again the third day. I've got to be resurrected before I can give you power over all the powers of the enemy. Amen. And he said unto them, that's why he said, and I want to say this other scripture that's coming to my mind now. That's why he told the disciples, he said, behold, I give unto you the keys to the kingdom. That's in Matthew chapter 18. I give unto you the keys of the kingdom. Amen. And why could he give us the keys to the kingdom? Because the keys of the kingdom represent authority. Amen. He said, I give unto you the keys of the kingdom. But look at verse 23. He said, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross daily, and follow me. Whosoever shall save his life shall lose it, and whosoever will lose his life for my sake or for my name, the same shall save it. For what does it advantage a man if he gain the whole world and lose himself or be cast away? So that's another scripture we talked about. He said, whom do men say that I am? Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Jesus wants to reveal himself. And if you don't get anything else out of this message tonight, just know that Jesus Christ wants to reveal himself to you as the Son of God. And he does it through signs and wonders. He does it through miracles. It's good to believe. He told, I think it was Thomas, he said, it's good to believe. He said, you believe because I told you I saw you under the fig tree. He said, blessed are those that believe and have not seen. So it's good to believe. You have to come to him by faith. You don't have to see the miracles and the wonders like the disciples, some of the disciples did in order to believe. But as we walk with him, we should be walking in the authority, and we should be walking in the power, and we should be overcomers, and we should be breaking chains off of people's lives. We should be setting the captives free. We should be going into the enemy territory and taking those souls back for the kingdom of God. And that's the point. And the only way we can do that is with the name of Jesus. Amen. Let's go over. Peter responded, thou, in my notes I put down, Peter responded, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. The woman at the well did not say. Let's turn to John chapter 4, talking about the woman at the well. Now, in John chapter 4 and verse 4, the Bible says he must needs go through Samaria. So he left Judea and departed again into Galilee. But in verse 4, the Bible says he must needs go through Samaria. Now, this scripture really, really got my attention because I'm wondering why did it say he must go through Samaria. And then the Bible says in verse 5, then cometh he to a city of Samaria, which is called Sychar, near to the parcel of ground that Jacob gave to his son Joseph. Now Jacob's well was there in verse 6. Jesus, therefore, being tired with his journey, sat on the well, and it was about the sixth hour or noon. Then cometh a woman of Samaria to draw water. Jesus said unto her, give me to drink, for his disciples were gone away into the city to buy meat. Now listen to this in verse 9. Then said the woman of Samaria unto him, how it is it that thou, being a Jew, askest drink of me, which am a woman of Samaria? Number one, I'm a woman, and number two, I'm from Samaria. She said, for the Jews have no dealings with the Samaritans. That was a prejudice that it would take another whole 30 minutes or an hour to know where it came from between the Jews and the Samaritans, which I do have a Bible study prepared on that, but I'm not going to get into it tonight. But it was racial. I'm just leave it at that. It was a racial prejudice thing. Jesus answered and said unto her, if thou knewest the gift of God and who it is that saith unto thee, give me to drink, thou wouldest have asked of him, and he would have given thee living water. Now, she was coming there for the natural water. But Jesus said, this is the point that I want to make in the name of Jesus. He said, if you knew the gift of God. Remember in John 3 and 16, the Bible said, God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but should have everlasting life. So here in the next chapter, in John chapter 4, Jesus said, if you knew the gift of God, amen, Jesus Christ is a gift of God from heaven. He was sent to the earth to die for the sins of the world. That is a gift that you do not have to bear you don't have to die for your own sins. You do not, now, and the Jews in the Old Testament, they had to have the sacrifice. God gave them, to gave Moses a vision of the temple in heaven. They built the temple, the tent. They had the outer court and the inner court. Every year they had to go and they had to get sacrifice, animal sacrifice. They had to offer blood because without the shedding of blood, there's no remission of sins. So all through the Old Testament, believed in the God of the Hebrews, they could join in and have their sins covered. It wasn't just limited to the Jews, but they could come in. That's why the Bible says they left out of Egypt a mixed multitude. It wasn't just, it was the Egyptians that believed also in the God of the Hebrews and left Egypt in the Old Testament with the Hebrews when they left, when God took them out. They left a mixed multitude. People look over that. But they left a mixed multitude. So here he says, if you knew the gift of God and who it is that saith unto thee. Saints, if you don't get anything else out of this lesson tonight, please remember these words. Who it is that saith unto thee. That is where we get the power in the name of Jesus, because we have to know for ourselves who Jesus is. We have to know who he really is. He is the Son of the living God. Like Peter just said, we just read that. Peter said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And there was another scripture where Peter said that in Matthew. Jesus said, blessed art thou, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood have not revealed this unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. So just like God said that, Jesus said that God revealed that unto Peter. He said, blessed art thou. God will reveal Jesus to you and to me so that we can go forth and do miracles. If he doesn't reveal Jesus to you, you won't have the faith to believe that you can fight this battle against the devil. And that's why the devil wants to keep you in darkness. He keeps a lot of Christians in darkness because they don't know who Jesus is. They don't know the power that's in his name. They don't know that they have power. Amen. He just wants us to just go to church and just dance and shout and just try to, you know, live a good life in this life. And, you know, he talks about everything but the power that's in the name of Jesus. Amen. But it's coming a time, amen, where we won't be able to preach in the open pulpit the name of Jesus. So that's why I'm taking advantage of it now while I still can. I'm taking advantage of it now because when the time is short, amen, and we will not always be able to preach in the name of Jesus. There are some places right now where people are getting beheaded. People are getting killed because they are preaching in that name. Just like it was in the book of Acts, I said it's going to be just like that again. When they told Paul, they stoned Paul, they tried to kill Paul, all because he was preaching in the name of Jesus. It's going to be the same way for us, saints. We're going to have to die for what we believe in. If not this generation, our children, we are going to begin to be persecuted for the name of Jesus because we have got to be willing to die. Amen. When they come out with that chip, that RFID chip that's already out and the 666 is already out, study on that. The time is coming with an RFID chip, people are already taking it. And the code is 666. It's on everything you buy or sell already. 666 is on everything. And people are already taking the chip voluntarily. There are going to be so many people going to hell because of that chip. The Bible says if you take that chip, you cannot be saved. You cannot go to heaven if you take that chip. And there are so many people that just don't care. And we're going to get to that because this is going to be like a three-part lesson. I'm not going to stop until I get this message finished. But Peter responded, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. The woman at the well in John chapter 4, Jesus said, if you knew who it was that said unto thee, he said, I would have given thee living water. And then she said in verse 11, sir, thou hast nothing to draw with. See, she still had, her spiritual eyes had not become open to the truth of what Jesus was saying. He was talking about spiritual water. He was talking about living water. He was talking about eternal life. But she said, thou hast nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. From whence then hast thou that living water? She didn't know he was talking about eternal life. She said, art thou greater than our father Jacob, which gave us the well? She's still in the natural. So many, and that's still going on in the church today. People are still in the natural. Their spiritual eyes are not open to the truth. Art thou greater than our father Jacob, that gave us the well and drank thereof himself and his children and the cattle? She was in the natural. Jesus answered and said unto her, whosoever drinketh of this water shall thirst again. The natural water, you're going to thirst again. But he said, whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst. Talking about that well. He said, but the water that I give him shall be in him a well of water. Talking about the Holy Spirit. We're going to prove that, amen. Spring it up into everlasting life. Amen. So Jesus said the water that he has coming, the eternal water, everlasting water, eternal water, he said, you will never thirst if you drink the water that I give you. He said, because the water that I give you shall be in you. You don't have to go anywhere and get any water. It's going to be in you. Talking about the Holy Spirit, a well of water springing up into everlasting life. Bless you. I love you with the love of the Lord. And I will be back, amen, with part two of this message on our next broadcast. I love you, and God bless you, and good night. This is Evangelist Amos signing off. Good night.